Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning, and once again welcome to this program of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and together with our supporters, we're glad to have you listening in to this broadcast. Today is Sunday the 26th of July. Yes, the World Cup is over. However, major sporting events scheduled for today include the Formula One Hungarian Grand Prix in Budapest and the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. So there are still a few events that we can hang our sporting verses from the Bible on. That's what we've been doing these past weeks as we followed the World Cup. To begin with, though, here are words from Psalm 1. How about these for physical exercise of sitting, walking, and standing? Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen.
To live, God, I love.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you as the ultimate source of all blessing and the fountain of all truth and the start of all wisdom. We adore you because you have made yourself known through your life-giving word and for the way that in fulfillment of time your word became flesh in Jesus. Through you, we know you to be the righteous judge who watches over the path of the faithful. You are the sustainer of life, and in you we find our deepest delight. Just as a tree planted by streams of living water yield its fruit in season, we praise you for providing exactly what we need to grow and thrive in every season of life. Your presence can nourish our spirits, and we thank you that our roots can draw deeply from your eternal, unfailing love. Forgive our wandering thoughts, our impulsive words, our quiet promises. By your grace, plant us firmly beside your streams of mercy. Forgive our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect, righteous life of wisdom that we could not. Revive our hearts so that we may finally delight in your truth and flourish for your kingdom. For we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, reading verses 1 through to verse 10. See if you can spot the verse that's the centre of our thoughts this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is to be received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching which you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and that is why we labour and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Amen.
The garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear in the sun.
Well, you've probably spotted the verse that is the springboard for our thoughts this morning in verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. That's in verse 8 of the reading. But to get to verse 8, we have to go through verses 1 to 7. The Apostle Paul seemed to have a place in his heart for sports, and so in his writings he talks about wrestling and boxing and foot races. And today, here in the first letter of Paul to Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy to make sure that he is in fit condition. He tells him to take steps to stay in shape. And that's exactly what you and I and all the church need to do as well. Paul calls Timothy to get into shape. But it's not just a physical fitness that Paul needs as much as spiritual fitness. Now don't get me wrong, we need both. And maybe just the thought of getting up and going to the fridge during the commercials tires you out. And if so, maybe you need to just focus on physical fitness. But Paul's emphasis to Timothy is on the need for spiritual fitness. And that's an area of life that we can all improve upon. And so in this chapter, Paul touches on two aspects to fitness. First of all, he points out the dangers we face. The dangers we face. Now, when we're talking about physical fitness, it's easy to identify the dangers we face. It may be that we have a fairly leisurely lifestyle, and maybe we don't get enough exercise. We're couch potatoes. We go from bed to easy chair to couch and back again, and we can sit in front of the TV or the screen for hours on end. And we have so many labour-saving devices that we have to artificially bring exercise into our lives. So there's YMCA memberships or Gold's Gym memberships. And for the ladies, well, there's any number of Curves places or other exercise groups. A place to go and meet and bring exercise into our lives. We identify the dangers physically in all kinds of labels. MSGs, saturated fats, or in old terminology, fried foods and fats and sweets. But what about the dangers we face spiritually? That's where we can be taken off guard. How many of us think about the dangers we face spiritually? And that's what Paul reminds Timothy of here in verses 1 through 7. He wants to warn them against false teachers. He's warned them that part of his job at Ephesus as a pastor was to defend the faith. But he begins to point them out in more detail here. We too face the same type of false teachers in our day. Now, this is not the kind of broadcast where we highlight the differences between Presbyterian and United Church or Catholic and Protestant or other divisions within the Christian faith, because the false teachers are found in the culture around the churches and, yes, on occasion, inside the churches. False teachers are deceitful, hypocritical, seared. They're people who vaunt themselves, but people who set themselves up as grandiose individuals who've got the answers to everything and yet live shallow moral lives. The Apostle Paul said that there were some people who had rules. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. There's an emphasis on a religion of rules. Do not touch, do not eat. They have a religion of rules that focuses more on the externals than the internals. Everything material is inherently evil. And if it's money, well, you have to get rid of that and you've got to give it away. The scholars tell us that maybe the writer's having a go at a kind of spirituality at that time called Gnosticism, which held that material things were inherently evil. And in a rule-based culture, your eyes are drawn to the boundaries, the limits. Your mind is taught the potential consequences of violating those limits. And the evil one can use those timeless methods of his to tease and taunt and tempt you to cross the line, convincing you of the happiness that you'll experience. After all, aren't you meant to be free? But in a values-based culture, your eyes are drawn forward and upward. You're less likely to look at the boundaries and more likely to look at the destination. If you want to be spiritually fit, first thing you need to do is be aware of the dangers. If you want someone to stop smoking, you can't just bribe them to stop. You've got to give them to motivation. You need to help them see what smoking will do to their lungs and their bodies to begin to get fit. And you need to show people what happens when you live by a religion of the rules. You grow stunted inwardly. You get self-obsessed. You begin to be critical, not only of yourself, but other people, to look down on others. You begin to vaunt yourself. These are the dangers that we can face in these times. But if there are dangers that we face, well, Paul says there's training that we need. Training that we need. If you want to be physically fit, you need to do two things: diet and exercise. Spiritually, we need to diet to avoid the false teaching that would destroy us spiritually, and to exercise spiritual exercise. And so Paul tells Timothy in verse 7, rather, train yourself to be godly. And the word for train is the word gymnasium, from which we get gymnasium. Paul says, go to the gym and work out spiritually. It requires proper nutrition. Feed yourself properly. If you want to build muscles physically, you don't get much on Twinkies and brownies. If you want to grow spiritual muscles, you need spiritual nutrition. The author of the letter to the Hebrews writes, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with about the teaching of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What type of spiritual nutrition do you get? A prayer at meals or at bed? A read three Bible verses in your daily bread? Or do you study to show yourself approved for God? Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 4, no one lives on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Or Psalm 119 verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. When you're down, God's word will lift you up. When you're lost, it will give you direction. When you're afraid, it will give you hope. When you're weak, it will give you strength. When you're hurting, it will bring you healing. And so we need to feed on the Word of God daily for good spiritual nutrition. Spiritual fitness requires exercise. Exercise to get up off the couch to walk a couple of miles. We need to raise our heart rate. We need to push our bodies. And spiritually, we need to push ourselves also. Paul says in verse 10, for this we labour and strive. We work hard and we suffer in order that people will believe the truth. For our hope is in the living God. We strive. We work hard at works of service. And the word labour indicates growing weary. And the word strive or toil or suffer is the word for athletic matches, agon, for which we get agonize and wear ourselves out. We exhaust all the energy to grow spiritually. Look at the ones competing in the Commonwealth Games this year. We can see that the way that they strive. Their great joy comes after putting effort into that which brings weariness. If you're an athlete and you want to build up your muscles, there is a sense in which the muscles have to break down first that they might grow back stronger. If you want to grow in the Lord, maybe you've got to strive to break down the weariness and the tiredness and the laziness that it might grow back in strength for the Lord. Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness he is there let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of praise. We thank you for the truth of your word, which lights our path and guides our steps. We thank you for your abundant creation, for every good gift, the provisions of daily life, and for all that you have made. We receive your blessings with a grateful heart, knowing that your word and prayer consecrate everything for our good and your glory. Lord, we thank you for the promise that you are the Saviour of all, especially of those who believe. And we pray that we may always set our trust in you, even when we face labour and reproach. Help us to remember that you are the living God who is faithful to your promises. And we claim those promises today and ask for your strength and guidance as we continue to labour for your kingdom. Lord, as we thank you for your truth, we also pray for your church. In these times, we pray for spiritual discernment for ourselves and for all believers to recognize and reject those deceptive teachings that can lead away from the faith. Those times that perhaps we get hung up on rules and externals, on what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. Strengthen our hearts and minds against worldly distractions. Keep our consciences tender and aligned with your will. We lift up one another in the family of the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ whom we know and who listen in to this broadcast as well. We ask that you would pour out your grace to help us train ourselves in godliness. May our lives be a living testimony of your love, so that our progress in the faith would be evident to all. Lord Jesus Christ, we offer you thanks this day, for you're the source of rest and right relationships for the whole of creation, and so its resources last for coming generations. Inspire us to live out our good intentions for the earth in our choices, big and small, so that your kingdom may come on earth, not by disaster, but through discipleship. For it is as your disciples we are praying. In one voice, the words Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.